Studio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On Magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. Write On Audio listener contributions, sharing your writing for the world to hear. Our September listener contribution is from Matthew DePauli. Matthew's novel, Holiday, follows the life of the legendary 1880s gambler and gunslinger, Doc Holliday, and it won the Wilbur and Niso Smith Adventure Writing Prize. A prolific writer, DePauli's other novels include Quicksand and Other Forms of Life. Here's Matthew to introduce his contribution.
Hi, this is Matthew DePauli, writer of Holiday with Sunbury Press, and winner of the Wilbur and Niso Smith Adventure Writing Prize for that novel. Holiday follows the infamous 1880s gambler, dentist, and gunslinger Doc Holliday. From the outset, Doc has been diagnosed with tuberculosis and is told to head to drier climates and imbibe to prolong his life. He has also heard of a spring located somewhere along the frontier that could cure him, what he believes to be the mythical Fountain of Youth. The novel portrays Holliday as a rock star, a living legend, increasingly hounded by paparazzi, enamored by death, cards, booze, and women. Doc is a mixture of Clint Eastwood and Jim Morrison, and though he is able to help his friend Wyatt Earp exact revenge, his condition worsens, traveling to Arizona, to Denver, and everywhere in between in search of salvation. This is Holiday, based on a true story of the West. Chapter 1. Every day is exactly the same. Dallas, 1874. The saloon was a long, narrow room. The bartender stood behind the pine on the right, doling out booze to morning drunkards, and in the back, a loud faro game carried over from the night before. The beleaguered dealer seemed relieved to see him, Doc, who sat down at a table fit for one but with two chairs. He ordered three shots, an antelope steak, and buckwheat cakes, which he ate with an acute awareness of his mustache. He cut his steak into cubes and ate each one a half minute apart, enjoying the dry sting of the whiskey between bites. A tall man with a crusted scar over his lip and his holster showing walked over from the faro table and sat down across from Doc. "Why, Harrison," said Doc, recognizing the man from a game earlier in the week. "I don't think I have enough for the both of us." His chalky southern accent still contained a boyish lilt. "That's okay, I'd take it bloody anyways." Harrison grabbed one of Doc's drinks and chugged it down. "You owe me from the other night, Holiday." "That's funny." Doc placed a cube of antelope on his tongue. "I remember winning the other night." "You cheated." "So did you. It appears I'm simply better at it than you are. Replace my whiskey, it helps my condition." "I don't take orders from no lungers." Harrison clenched his thick, hairy fingers on the table. "Now, why would you say something hateful?" All the eyes in the saloon fell on Doc. He felt rock quiet. He remembered the sound of chimes in Georgia and how one night, when there was no wind, they stopped. He imagined his rounds as freedom, the wheeze and squeal of the chamber. He smelled the powder and burnt flesh. They followed him like a prayer. "I heard he was a dentist anyway. What's a dentist doing getting himself into card playing and all this?" "Like Doc," said Harrison. "My friends call me Doc. We ain't friends." Doc swigged down his last whiskey and motioned for another. The bartender remained frozen. "The service is just terrible here." "Just give me my money before I end you, John Henry Holiday." "You know, Harrison, it seems to me that you haven't given enough thought to what that end means, really. You're a misfit, God's regret. Or maybe you don't believe in anything more than the soil they scatter you on. Are you godless, Harrison?" Harrison reached down, gripped his gun in his holster. He peered back at the faro table and then straight into Doc. "You don't ever question a man's God, Lunger. I'm right square with God at this moment. I'm a better man than you. Doc smiled. His mustache curled up like horns. He flicked his pistol from under the table and buried two shots square in Harrison's scruffy neck. I'm convinced. Harrison strained and thrashed to cover the holes as blood spurted onto the table. Doc lifted his buckwheat cakes away from the mess. After a few seconds of gurgling, Harrison's head dropped to the table, and his hat rolled off and down toward the bar. "What'd you go doing that for, Doc?" said the barkeep, still teetering behind the bar. "You're not going to be welcome here." "Self-defense, clear as day." Doc had made a few friends in this town, and as he searched the room, he didn't see any of them. "I'll return the plate," he added, walking out with his meal and his gun. Doc's face simmered with new blood as he walked the streets of Dallas. He always felt less human after he'd killed someone, like the little bit of himself that he still kept from home bled out as they did. His mother had taught him to calculate risk, anticipate every outcome, and he always did, as if it preserved her in some way, but there remained that primal moment just before the draw, when you could let it all scatter to the floor. He felt nothing but the sugary drip of death in the back of his throat. The only reason he'd headed out in the West in the first place was that he'd heard rumors of a wellness spring that could cure him of his consumption. Every cow town he went to, though, they always said it was the next one. But they'd all heard of it. Linwood, he'd heard it called. But it wasn't on any map. He'd always gotten closer, but never close enough to smell the hot salt or taste it in his aching throat. The only thing he tasted in the Dallas streets was shit. The springs went by many names, as though they had throughout history, and much greater men had followed the path and grown old and died before ever reaching their destination. Some claimed south, in the land of the Ethiopians or in the Caribbean, but Doc knew that his salvation lay due west. His mother taught him about the spring, the age of exploration, she called it. But John Henry believed wholly in his own exploration. Its restorative powers fascinated him as a child, and he actively read about Ponce de Leon, the writings of Herodotus, and Alexander the Great. However, none of them understood that this spring, the fountain of youth, as they called it, would only accept desperation. Only a man at the last twist of his knot could unearth it. Doc was a long way from Atlanta, where everything seemed to flower. Here, everything turned to dust. The town stunk of rot and manure and the ripe stench of sweat on leather. It hung in the air like fog. Sometimes so much dirt dusted up in the air it was hard to see beyond the 5 feet, and sometimes you could look out toward the mountains and witness the hand of God at work in the clouds and the sound of the sky at night. The people of Dallas grew film on them like unwashed teeth. They yellowed and hollowed. Even the ones who'd found wealth wore it like a mask, unsure how to behave other than the glistening animals they were, silvered, buttressed, their canes supporting their crooked backs. Walking down Main Street, Doc always noticed a pony that no one bothered to bathe. She never grew old. Only stank like burnt apples as she thrashed her clumsy tail against the ceaseless onslaught of flies. Doc felt sorry for her small body and her upbringing in a world where all the color had been drained, destined to be ridden to her death. The storefronts did not fit the rest of the town, each one lopsided, uniquely misshapen, and bright as June. Doc always got dirt in his mouth when he turned a corner. He tipped his hat to the old coffinsmith, a strange codger dealing with the sordid specificity of death. One part deranged, one part godly, and one part sage, like a purgatorial cocktail. Unable to play cards, Doc decided he might as well go to work. He took a left at the dance hall and headed for his office. His dusty glass door read, John Henry Holliday, DDS.
Thank you to Matthew DePauli for this insight into the world of his novel, Holiday, which is published by Sunbury Press. You can find out more about Matthew by visiting his website, www.matthewdepauli.com. As usual, we'll post a clickable link in our show notes. Our show notes will also include links so you can buy a copy of Holiday and find out more about the Wilbur and Niso Smith Foundation. Join us next week for a showcase selected by Thomas Nixon. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.